Welcome back, everyone, to the Language of Behavior. This is episode 27, and I'm here with the rock star that she is, Charlie Peck.
Hi, I'm doing great. You're a rock star too, Josh. Love it.
Appreciate that. Well, I'm super excited because I get an opportunity to speak with you pretty soon here. I was looking at the calendar. It's amazing that it is already, I guess we can classify it as summertime, and that we are just couple months away, actually less than 2 months away from us speaking together in Anaheim, California for the MTSS Professional Learning Institute conference. And I'm just so excited to see you in person again, and then also to see all the wonderful educators out in the Anaheim area. So Charlie, will you just share a little bit about your session? I know we're going to individually speak, and then we're going to come back together for the afternoon session.
Yeah, I'm just so glad when I can have time with people because we get to spend a few hours with our groups. I love it. So mine is called SOS for School Mental Health Strategies for Struggling Staff and Students, or Staff and Students in Crisis, really. And so we're going to look at it systemically, like what's going on? What are the contributing factors? What have we tried? What's not working? And most importantly, how do we solve this thing? So I'm going to give some very practical tools and strategies and layered into that T1 level of support to provide that immediate relief and, more importantly, prevent or even reduce those problems that we're seeing contributing to student behaviors, but mostly like overwhelm, even from our teachers.
I love it. And that's actually going to equate very nicely to our question for this episode, which we'll talk about in just a second. But my session, then, like you said, we're going to get like 3 hours with these folks, which is just going to be phenomenal. I love these longer sessions. I think we can get into a lot of information and resources, but mine's going to be building trauma responsive systems that elevate student and staff success. Obviously, that's going to correlate with some of the things that you've got going on in your session, but then also with our book. And then, of course, you know, what I'm truly am most excited for is we get to speak together once again for the Language of Behavior. And we're actually going to have it as a framework. So Charlie, do you want to kind of outline what that'll look like? Obviously, it's going to be very connected to our resource that's been out here since February.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if we had 3 hours for this one. Wow. Oh my gosh.
I know
there's never enough time, but we are going to give them just tons of strategies that are just so powerful because they have to know what's going on in the environment. That's one thing that we're going to look at, is considering the environment more or not even more, like differently than we have thought of it before. So we're going to look at physical space and social space, give them plenty of materials and things to think about, something to take away with them. And we're going to do book giveaways too, aren't we, Josh?
I mean, I'm going to give away books in our sessions. So for folks that will be in attendance, be aware of that. But then also our book is going to be sold in the bookstore there. They're going to have a company there that's selling books. And so we've set that up. So that's the Language of Behavior will be a part of that. So super excited about that. And yeah, just really digging deep into the book and the resource, but then also giving some additional strategies that, you know, we've talked maybe just a little bit on this podcast, but to get into more depth. So that one will be a shorter session. I think that one's going to be what, 45 minutes versus the 3 hour pre-conference sessions that would be a part of?
It'll be great, because if anybody is going to your session or my session, when we meet up later, it'll just be a really great way to cap it off, either one.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great way to say that. That'll be impactful. So, All right, let's get into the question that really relates to what you're going to be speaking at the MTSS conference. And this question comes, this one was anonymous. So what subtle signs indicate that a child or adult is struggling emotionally or behaviorally?
Yeah, I love this question because we often overlook things, but any change of pattern. Okay, so let's think about baseline behavior or baseline personality. Any behaviorist, like anybody who has been trained to, I don't know, like investigate or interrogate people will say that there's a baseline behavior. Oftentimes they will spend a couple hours just learning their baseline so that when they do notice a shift, they can pick up that they might not be telling the truth or something's wrong. They're feeling stressed. Their stress response kicks in. And so I would look for like a change of social behavior. Are they withdrawing? Are they doing things or not interested in doing things that they used to be doing? So sometimes kids will say, yeah, I used to do cheerleading, but I decided not to. They're like, why? You've been doing that for so many years. You loved it. And your face is changing when you talk about it. So those kinds of things, or going to their room more, something just like a change. So I'll stop there. I have more, but what are your thoughts there, Josh?
Yeah, I was in a lot of situations, especially with students, where I didn't have a real relationship with the kids. A lot of times the kids that were coming in, this was the first time that I actually had a conversation with them or had an opportunity to really engage with them, more so than just saying like hello in the hallway. So for me, I really had to get a baseline quickly to understand who they were. But what I always keyed in on was the nonverbals. So, you know, posture, either standing or sitting, a tone of voice, their facial features and how they kind of manipulated their face as they were talking, you know, like their hands and the fidgeting. Now, some of that too was attributed to the fact that they were stressed because they were in an administrator's office. So I had to kind of use that as filter. But a lot of what I was picking up on was kind of that EQ piece of like the nonverbal and what's going on and what's not being said versus what is being said, because I didn't have a baseline for them. I didn't have conversations prior to where I was. And really what I was trying to do was establish that in a very short period of time. So I was asking them questions that had nothing to do with the behavior that they were in my office for. It was just trying to get an understanding and one, to get them comfortable, to build some trust, but then also to quickly get a baseline of like where they're at when they're talking about something that they're interested in, or they're talking about their family or something that they enjoy, where it's something that's not a negative, but a positive, so that I could quickly get an assessment to then use that information for the further, more difficult conversation.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is sometimes you don't get to spend a lot of time with them, but there are some basic things we can look for as well. So if they're saying something that doesn't match on their face or their expression, so oftentimes say, yeah, I'm doing great. And their face doesn't match that. And so we can say, yeah, okay, for some reason that seems off because your face doesn't match that. Is there something else going on? And that will depend on the relationship, whether or not they say something. I know when I do therapy sessions with kiddos who do that, and they'll be like, yeah, it's fine. And I'll be like, well, I know you enough by now to know not accurate. Instead of saying you're a big fat liar, I like to say that doesn't sound accurate for you, or that doesn't sound like you, or it doesn't match what I'm seeing. So you can always say that, and because you're not wrong, it's not matching what I'm seeing. I could be wrong, and always give them an too by saying, am I wrong? Am I getting something wrong here? Maybe I'm way off, you know. And so that gives them that safety and security to just kind of, if they don't want to say anything to you, they don't have to. It gives them an out. But sometimes people have tells on their faces and stuff too. There's a really great behavior analyst who can give you a lot more information than I could. But if people smile a lot, you smile with your whole face, like a smile, you smile with your whole face. And so like kind of the crow's feet on the ends of the eyes, you can tell generally or happier people maybe for their life. And this is what I listen. This is not my information. This is what I hear from behavior analysts. And then that little kind of crinkle in the middle of your forehead, like down in between your eyes. If you're an angry person, that gets like stronger, more pronounced if you're angry a lot. So those kinds of things you can learn to pick up on too. But oftentimes you can listen to your instinct and just say, oh, it looks like this to me. Like you're not putting them down. You can say, it looks like this to me. Am I wrong? Am I off? And just open it up. You don't have to even ask them, are you okay? Oh, I'm noticing this. What's up? If anything.
Yeah. Calling it out. And I did this with teachers too. And especially if you have a relationship with them where you feel confident in doing this, is like letting them know this is the nonverbal that I see. And this is now where I'm analyzing something's wrong. So it's not just like, oh, I have a hunch. It's because of this nonverbal, I think something's up. And honestly, like a very high percentage of times when I would do that and use that as a strategy, I would uncover something much deeper about typically something that was going on either like with a peer teacher or more often what was going on at home, right? They were going through a nasty divorce, or there was an abusive relationship, or their spouse lost a job, right? So something usually that was much bigger that nobody knew about, but because, you know, as an administrator, I was really trying to be in tune with what was going on with them. And maybe it was, they weren't giving me eye contact while we were having a conversation. You know, they were looking down instead of looking at me, which was something that was different than previous conversations. Well, obviously something's up. So like, I care about you. So what's going on? And I know that something's going on based on the fact that you're not looking at me and calling out with like that evidence of what's going on in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes they want you to ask, but they don't want it to seem like they want you to ask. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and so
like
it's
a burden.
You got it. So it's a relief when you actually do notice that. So it's great that you said, call it out, because they're looking for that sometimes. Sometimes kids will sit in their seat a little past the bell, not too much, but a little bit, hoping you'll notice. And then they know that when it's uncomfortable or when you haven't noticed, they might leave. But just notice if they're doing that, because sometimes they're just waiting for you to make contact with them because something's going on. I've noticed that before where there's abusive situations or they want to find a way to spend time in the classroom after school and it makes sense or the parent didn't know. They've had that before. That's subtle, but if they're trying to avoid something else, there's a reason for that. I know even as an adult, that can happen when I've heard of this situation, and some of it was me knowing that I had a home to go to that I didn't want to be there. And so I'd spend more time doing other things. You just kind of linger around or try to do stuff socially more so with other people. So it does go back to maybe a change of pattern or something that just seems off. We're human, so we have instinct, and that comes from somewhere. I mean, we have a nervous system and we're constantly scanning our environment. So if we do notice something, it's because something stands out. We're trying to make sense of it. Doesn't mean we're right, but we're trying to make sense of it. So just pay attention to that.
For sure. I had a girl that stayed after school and would disappear, and the mom was upset constantly. And what was found out was that it was an abusive boyfriend that was in the house. And he literally came up to the building, and it was just me. And I had the young lady in the front office waiting for mother, but the boyfriend came, took off his belt and started whooping her in the front office. And I had to stop it, get the girl away. And it was this whole issue. You know, obviously, you know, CPS was involved later and police and the whole nine yards, but like there was a pattern behavior that wasn't matching up as far as why she wasn't going home, why she wasn't where she was supposed to be after school and ending up in various places. Yeah, like you were saying, like that spidey sense was going off, like something's up. I don't know what it is. And unfortunately, it was right in front of me that what the problem was with a very chaotic situation. But I think when teachers are feeling that or when administrators are feeling that, like, don't sit in that. Don't ignore it. Really investigate and try and figure out what's going on, because most times, whatever you're feeling or whatever you're picking up on, the unsaid, there's usually something there behind that.
Absolutely. And I know you'll agree with this next piece too, is don't do it alone.
For sure.
Like, take it to another person, like a colleague, a peer, give it to your administrator if you're the teacher, talk to your social worker. Like, none of that is meant to be done alone. So when we say investigate it, it doesn't have to be big. It's literally maybe sending an email. Hey, I noticed the kid is doing this. Did you notice that? And that's it. And also always, always feel okay to pass off any mental health and well-being issue to the administrator or, you know, school counselor as part of administration too, therapist. Anything. So never feel like you have to do that alone. And I will also say this, teachers, paras, anybody in support staff, you all have a pulse on what these kids are going through, especially if you're spending time with them all day or the same time every day. Like, you might be a hall monitor. You could be a lunch person, right? You could be a volunteer in the classroom. Like, if you notice something's off, you have an absolutely incredible voice. And so use it. Don't be afraid. I hate the fact, like, people feel like their status. I'll tell you one thing I hated when I was a teacher and I taught mental health topics for years. I mean, years. And I researched it and I was good at it. I knew my stuff. And when I had something to say, there was one point in time in a person of power who didn't want to hear what I had to say only because, literally, because I was a teacher. But when the school social worker said something, they were like this incredible being, this queen of the whole school and mental health. And it made me so mad because I thought, you're missing out on all of us who see these kids all the time. Like, don't discount that. So it's a personal mission. Can you tell? Can you tell it's a personal mission?
You're passionate, Charlie, but rightfully so. Rightfully so. As a former paraprofessional, my heart sang when you said that. So I had specific students that I would go into classes and work with, and I spent more time with them than anybody else in the building. So
that's right.
You know, if I had something that was going on that I found out, which I did, and I would notify a teacher, thankfully they took that as valid information that they then would do something with versus just blowing it off and saying, oh, you're just a para.
Yeah. And that drives me nuts because everybody is just so important. But also that's why everybody in the building should be trained. I mean, I don't often use the word should, but I will say it now. They should be trained to look out for some of these things so that they can become better informants and just know how to use observational language and stuff too, because we don't want to insert our opinion unless we have some credible information. If we have a suspicion about something, I think that we can just say, I feel like this because, like, you can give information that way too. But yeah, it's incredibly important. And paras, by the way, too, they are sometimes better at seeing something because the teachers that aren't busy, the paras more focus on something, a task or a kid. So sometimes they have the mental energy to pay a little bit more attention.
I love it.
There's other things too. I mean, I can't not say that there aren't like somatic responses, right? So headaches, stomach aches, fatigue, when we're tired, it could be related to the cortisol that's flooding our bodies and our brains so much, or the adrenaline that's pumping through our body. It can be tiring, especially if it lingers, if we're not using coping strategies to have that kind of recede. So that's something important. And also we have we have nerves that go, a nerve that goes right into our stomach. So nausea is physical, it's responding. Yeah. So it's clearly there could be a problem with like headaches and recurring physical symptoms we just need to pay attention to.
Yeah. And the lack of sleep, that's a whole nother thing that really does affect our adolescents, and especially those, that are gaming all night or, hanging out with friends and staying up who knows how long on social media. Obviously they're going to come in very irritated and tired, and you're going to get a very different product versus someone with a lot of sleep, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had another episode, we talked a little bit about this, but defiance is not always what it looks like. Defiance has an underlying message to it. And sometimes that it's passive, like there's a passive, I would call it resistance and not necessarily defiance, right? It's passive, a resistance. And there was a researcher who did this. I think Green did this, where they called it low level resistance. So that like, if they roll their eyes or they use like kind of a power trip there, but they're really using it as protection. So it's like a low level resistance, like forget their stuff on purpose, looking for something to fulfill their need of security that they're not getting somewhere.
Did that a lot growing up. That was in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
All right. That was a wonderful question. For those who are looking to add to the questions that we have for our bank to use for future episodes, we've tried to make this as easy as possible. So head over to bit.ly/LOB questions. We'll make sure that this link is in the show notes for you so you can click it. Like I said, it's really quick for you to submit those questions, and you can be anonymous like some of our folks have chosen to do, which we totally understand. Or if you want to add your name to it, feel free to do so. We always like giving our listeners a shout out. And we also love knowing what's going on in the classrooms and in your schools so that we can assist in any way possible. So I'm going to throw up Charlie's link here for those who are watching on YouTube, thrivingeducator.org. She has a whole host of wonderful resources for you to tap into, and a lot of things that are free. So make sure that you're taking advantage of that. Last episode, we talked about the book study kit. So I'll make sure that that link is in there for you to get that direct link. But also if you head over to joshtamber.com/language and behavior, we have not only a podcast, but we have other things that are free resources, our services and things that we do to help support educators all over this country, including, what we're going to be speaking out at the MTSS conference. And if you have an event coming up, I know that the administrators are looking to schedule those kickoffs for the school year. Charlie and I do those constantly, so our schedule is filling up. So if you're interested in a keynote or us kicking off the school year for your building or for your district, please reach out before it is booked and too late for you. But we love doing that. I know, Charlie, you've got a couple trips here coming up too to support some schools. And I know that's going to be super impactful. With that, Charlie, do you have any end thoughts for episode 27?
Yeah. So perfectionism shows up this way too. And we often praise kids, teenagers, especially, who are getting everything done and done well. But that is something to look out for. So just remember, just lead with curiosity. Like, I noticed this. I wonder what's up, if anything. I would say it like that. I noticed you're really excelling here. Something just feels out of whack for me. I wonder if there's anything to it. Something like that. Okay, just to open the door, they may close it, but that's okay. You tried.
I love how easy that is. All right, everyone, we appreciate you. We look forward to seeing you next week. And with that, if you need any assistance from us, we love to support in any way possible. And we'd love for you to reach out. I hope everyone has a fantastic week.
See you all.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow. And the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.